الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد We continue our readings in the book نصيحتي للنساء My advice to the women by عبد الله الوادعية حفظها الله تعالى. We have been reading from the chapter. The author she has mentioned الحث على الإخلاص والمحافظة على الوقت. The encouragement to be sincere and to preserve and maintain one's time. The encouragement, الحثو, على الإخلاص, upon sincerity and purity of intention, to do all of the deeds, the actions of worship, sincerity for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal alone, seeking His pleasure and His reward, seeking His mercy and the home and the good abode in the hereafter. Likewise, encouragement to preserve one's time, to reserve one's time. If we take a brief moment to look into the index the author she has mentioned, we will see several of the titles of the chapters that we will study together, inshallah, in our readings together in this work. From the beneficial methodologies, the ulama they mentioned from benefiting from a book is to read the introduction and likewise to read the index. This will give you a good insight and a basic outline of the book itself and the topics and the issues that will be addressed and discussed and studied. But if we look at the index of this particular work, we find that it has a beautiful arrangement and order and a wise manner in which the author, حفظه الله تعالى, has arranged this particular book. The title is نصيحتي للنساء, my advice to the women. But if we look into the index, we see how it begins. The beginning and the first advice after the introduction is the encouragement to have sincerity and ikhlas, and likewise to preserve one's time. The next chapter, the author, she will discuss the preservation and the protection and the obligation to guard one's tongue, and likewise the virtue of the tongue, and likewise the diseases of the tongue. And then she mentions many of those diseases, one after the other, many of the diseases of the tongue, mentioning many of them, حفظه الله تعالى. After this, and approximately 70 pages into the work, then the author, she begins discussing something related directly to the women, tarbiyatul awlad. But if we ponder over this introduction, it's very beneficial to see the wisdom of the author, beginning with ikhlas and sincerity, because this is the foundation for every deed, for the male and the female. That every Muslim, his main goal is to perform, or her main goal is to perform the actions of worship that are pleasing to Allah, sincerity for Him alone, seeking His reward and seeking His mercy, seeking acceptance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the home of the hereafter, likewise to preserve one's time, likewise to protect one's tongue from sin, and also knowing the virtue of the tongue. But likewise, just as the tongue, it has great virtue and it could be used in a most beneficial manner, Likewise, there are diseases that could plague the tongue and could actually be a means for an individual to destroy himself or drag or cause him or herself to enter to the hellfire because of the tongue. From that, she mentions speaking with a statement of shirk or disbelief. Likewise, speaking with a statement of innovation. She mentioned a chapter that is entitled Backbiting. After that, from the diseases of the tongue that the author will discuss, we will read together the chapter of lying and the dangers of lying. And likewise, she mentioned the disease of the tongue of revealing secrets. And she mentioned, حَفِظَهَا اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, the disease of cursing a Muslim without right and speaking ill of a Muslim, and also of trying to be eloquent and use words, trying to show off with the tongue and speech and eloquence and the likes. Likewise, from those chapters, the chapter of arguing and disputing and the likes, all of this is from the diseases of the tongue and disputing and arguing without right, quarreling and the likes. And likewise, she mentioned the chapter of al-la'an, cursing, using the tongue to curse people. And likewise, the shakwa, complaining and the likes about the affairs of the dunya. She mentioned the chapter, he said, she said, in qil wal qal. Likewise, the chapter of singing, using the tongue for this manner, and also for crying and mourning over the dead in a manner that is impermissible. She mentioned the chapter likewise that the tongue, it commits fornication. The tongue can commit fornication. And likewise, she mentioned here, the closing that chapter with the reasons for the diseases of the tongue. After this, discussing these issues and these affairs, the importance of sincerity and the importance of preserving one's time, and then going directly into the affairs of the tongue and mentioning many of the details with regards to that, so that the sister, the Muslima, she can rectify herself. Because the ulama, they mentioned that the tongue, it also is acts like a spoon or a ladle, and it dishes out that which is in the heart. So if the heart is good and the heart is sound and wholesome, then the tongue will speak in that manner accordingly. But likewise, if the heart is corrupted and wicked, then the tongue likewise will only speak from what the heart calls to and loves. So before the sister or even a brother, likewise a Muslim in general, is able to help others, and meaning first his own family or her own family, to cultivate and raise their family or their children upon piety and righteousness, upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, upon the correct methodology, upon the correct creed and methodology, first they must themselves rectify their own souls and rectify their own creed and belief and rectify their own worship and their relationship with Allah Azza wa Jalla, and rectify their own manners and conduct. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned that a person's iman will never be upright until his tongue is upright. And the tongue is a very important issue in the affair of a believer. So the fact that the tongue is upright, and the tongue will not be upright until the heart is upright. So if the heart is upright, then the tongue is upright, because the tongue is going to dish out that which is in the heart. So she is focusing here, if we pay attention, on the tarbiyah of the reader, of the sister. And this is how she began her advice. Very wise and beneficial way, that before a person can actually raise their own children upon that which is correct and good, she must herself first learn and cultivate and raise herself upon that which is correct and good, following the correct manners and having the correct conduct and the good speech and the likes, preserving herself and her tongue from the things that are plaguing the tongue, from the evils that can destroy the society and likewise her family, the issues of the tongue. So we see that this is actually a book of tarbiyah. This is a book of tarbiyah and adab. She is cultivating the reader, and her advice is to learn the proper etiquettes and manners, that are required and incumbent upon a person who states the statement, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, the one who states that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the messenger of Allah. So beginning with that first manner and the most important conduct of a believer, that is the conduct that is between him or her and their Lord, between them and their Creator, between the individual, between the abd, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-ikhlas, ikhlas al-ibadah, lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ulama, they mention, faqidu shay la yu'tihi, that somebody who does not have something, he cannot give it. So then before raising the children and bringing up the family, then the sister, she must learn. She must get knowledge. She must seek knowledge. She must gain a foundation and an understanding in the religion. She must become firm in her creed and her belief until the iman is strong in her heart, that it produces the beautiful speech and the beautiful actions and the upright conduct and manners. Then after that, she will be a role model for her children in her conduct, in her speech, in her worship, in her deen, and even in her affairs in the dunya. At this time, she will be a benefit to her family and to her society. Whenever she learns the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam outwardly and inwardly, and follows that in creed and in belief and methodology and in worship and manners and in dealings and the likes. So we continue from where we left, reading about the chapter of al-ikhlas, or the encouragement to be sincere. In our previous class, we have read the statement of the author. She mentioned that Allah Azza wa Jal has prepared us for a great affair. وَهَيَّأَنَا سُبْحَانَهُ لِأَمْرٍ عَظِيمٍ, and that Allah Azza wa Jal, He has prepared us for a great and a tremendous affair. Speaking about the purpose and the wisdom behind our creation. قَالَ تَعَالَى وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. She mentions the statement of Allah the Most High, and He has said, the meaning of which is, and I did not create the jinn and the mankind except to worship me alone. Except to worship me alone. Whenever a believer hears this, they will ask themselves, if this is my purpose in life, then what is the reality of this issue, al-ibadah? In this manner, the author, she mentioned directly after this, wal-ibadatu fil-lughah, and the word worship, al-ibadah, this is what we were created for linguistically. She says it means al-khudu'u wa-dhilla. Al-khudu'u wa-dhilla. Which means to submit and to be humble and submissive, or to submission and humbleness and surrender, humility. يُقَالُ طَرِيقٌ مُعَبَّدٌ. She mentioned here that it's said in this manner, in the linguistic usage, that you say طَرِيقٌ مُعَبَّدٌ. From the same verb, عَبَدَ يَعْبُدُ أُعْبُدْ عِبَادَةً. The word عِبَادَة comes from this root, مُعَبَّد, comes from the same root as عِبَادَة, عِبَادَة. So the linguistic meaning is to be submissive and to surrender and to be humble with humility. But here the ulama, they mention here the example in the linguistic meaning, طَرِيقٌ, a path or a way, a road, مُعَبَّد, that is called mu'abbad, a mudhallal, she mentioned, meaning that it is submissive. They say this about a road that has been paved, or they say this about a path that people have walked on for a long period of time, until that path has become flattened, until that road has become flattened, and it's a clear way, and it's submissive, easy for an individual to traverse upon it. The way becomes known because of the footprints that have flattened this way after a lot of usage and many people passing by this path. The road has become flattened and submissive. In this manner, this is the linguistic meaning of ibadah. Mudhallal, to be submissive and humble. And the opposite of arrogance and pride. Arrogance and pride, and the opposite of boasting and also rejecting, rather being submissive and surrender. This is the meaning of ibadah. This is the meaning of ibadah linguistically. She says here, وَالْفِي الْإِصْطِلَاحِ عَرَّفَهَا شَيْخُ الْإِسْلَامِ فِي كِتَابِهِ الْعُبُودِيَّةِ بِأَنَّهَا اسْمٌ جَامِعٌ لِمَا يُحِبُّهُ اللَّهُ وَيَرْضَاهُ مِنَ الْأَقْوَالِ وَالْأَعْمَالِ الظَّاهِرَةِ وَالْبَاطِنَةِ. انتهى كلامه رحمه الله. She says in the terminology, meaning the terminology of the deen, fil istilah, al-istilah al-shar'i, that Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala has defined the word ibadah in his book called Al-Ubudiyyah. In the very beginning of this book that Shaykh al-Islam he has written called Al-Ubudiyyah, servitude, he has defined al-ibadah in this work. And his words he has mentioned, or his statement, that it is a concise term for everything that Allah loves and is pleased with, from speech and from actions, apparent and hidden. Apparent and hidden. This is the meaning or the definition of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. It's highly encouraged for a believer to memorize this definition. Ismun jami'un likulli ma yuhibbuhu Allahu wa yaradahu min al-aqwali wal-a'mali al-zahira wal-batina. That it is a concise term, any one word, but it has an all-inclusive meaning. Many different ideas or realities are included in this meaning, different aspects. A concise term for everything, or that summarizes everything that Allah loves and is pleased with, from speech and from action, whether it is apparent or whether it is hidden, yani whether it is something that is done apparently, is outwardly, or whether it's something that is done inwardly, meaning in the heart. Meaning in the heart. So this is the definition of al-ibadah. But the ulama, they mentioned that the reality of al-ibadah, it has two meanings. It has two meanings. And in the deen, in the shara, in the terminology of the ulama. Because ibadah, or worship, it is used to speak about the action that a person is performing. And that's the definition here that Shaykh al-Islam has mentioned. Rahimahullah. The actions that are pleasing to Allah and the speech that is pleasing to Allah. This is, for example, salah. This is something that is pleasing to Allah. Then this is ibadah. Making adhkar or studying or teaching or reading the Quran. These are all actions or statements that are pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. Likewise, hoping and relying upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and putting one's trust and faith in Him and reliance upon Him, tawakkul. And then also returning in Him with devotion and repentance likewise, and having hope and fear from Him. These are all actions that are inward. Any actions that are inward from the actions of the heart. These are all deeds that are pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. This is the examples of the definition of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah. This is the example of ibadah. And the meaning, al-muta'abbadu bihi, that which is used as the act of worship. There is another meaning that the ulama, they mentioned for ibadah, and that is the actual worship itself, or the state of being of an individual whenever he is performing an act of worship. There's the action of salat, and there's the state of the individual whenever they are performing salat. Likewise, this comes from that linguistic meaning, al-khudu'u wa-dhillah, al-khudu'u wa-dhillah. And the ulama, they mentioned that ibadah, its definition is ghayatul hubbi. مَعَ غَايَةِ الذُّلِّ وَالْخُضُوعِ. The peak of love. The true worship is the worship that is done, worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal, and the person, he loves Allah, or she loves Allah, that's why she worships Him. غَايَةُ الْحُبِّ مَعَ غَايَةِ الذُّلِّ وَالْخُضُوعِ. That a person, this is the reality of an abid, the one who is worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal properly. That they are performing those actions that are pleasing to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, or they are making those statements that are pleasing to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, but at the same time they do that, their heart has a love, is full of love and magnification of Allah Azza wa Jal and veneration. Also the heart that loves Allah Azza wa Jal and loves its creator, then it's hoping for that good that He has subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the heart is worshipping Allah alone, alone as well as the body parts. And the one likewise that is submissive and humble to Allah Azza wa Jal, this brings about the fear, because he's afraid of his punishment, or afraid of his threat, or afraid of not being accepted, rather being rejected. So then this is the meaning of ibadah, ta'abbudu, yani ta'abbudu, ibadah ta'abbudu. This is the meaning of ibadah as the worship, or the state of worship, that a person, he worships Allah Azza wa Jal humbly with love, veneration and magnification, with hope and with fear, fearing Allah Azza wa Jal. In this manner, Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned about ibadah with this meaning, the meaning of the state of the individual. He said, "Ta'abudu in al-ibadah, hiya ta'abudu bima'na atadhallul lillahi azza wa jal, bifi'li awamirihi wa ijtinabi nawahihi mahabbatan wa ta'zima." Summarizing a beautiful definition of this meaning of ibadah, the state that a person he should be in whenever he's worshipping Allah, whenever he's performing or she is performing those actions of worship. How is his state and his condition? It is to worship Allah Azza wa Jal, by meaning that one surrenders himself and submits himself and is humble to Allah Azza wa Jal. Humble before Allah Azza wa Jal in humility and submission by performing his commandments and staying away from his prohibitions based upon love and veneration and magnification. Based upon love and veneration and magnification. This is the ibadah that she is mentioning here, that Allah Azza wa Jal has prepared us for and created us for this great affair. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. It's except to perform this ibadah here, to be submissive and to surrender oneself and to comply humbly before Allah Azza wa Jal, complying to his commandments and staying away from his prohibitions, doing all of this out of love for him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is because whenever a servant learns about their Lord and becomes aware of their Creator and the Creator of the heavens and the earth, and they see all of his great and beautiful names and attributes and all of the good that he is giving his creation and that individual particularly, then the heart will deify Allah Azza wa Jal and love him and surrender and submit to him. And this is the worship that we were created for. This is the worship that we were created for. She says here, وَقَالَ سُبْحَانَا, and likewise Allah, he says, أَلَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْغَفُورُ. She also mentioned another verse here from the statements of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the meaning of that, which is, and he is the one who created the death and the life to test you, to see who is best indeed. To test you, to see who is best indeed. وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْغَفُورُ. And he is the Almighty and the Most Forgiving, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in the previous verse, the author mentioned the ayatul dhariyat, that Allah, he did not create the jinn and the mankind except to worship him alone. Allah is mentioning the wisdom behind the creation of the jinn and the mankind. In this noble verse here, Allah Azza wa Jalla, he's mentioning the wisdom behind the creation of the death and the life. And why is there life and why is there death, and that which occurs in between the life and the death, from good and from evil, and from happiness and from sadness, and from sickness and from health, and from pleasure and joy to pain and worry and the likes like this. All of these affairs, they occur in the between life and death. Allah Azza wa Jal, he mentioned in this noble verse, هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ, in order to test you. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ, in order to test you. أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, to test you to see who is best indeed. So the wisdom from the creation of the death and the life is to test the believer. So this life is a test for the believer. So long as he or she is alive, then they are in a state of trial and test. Some are tested with wealth and others are tested with poverty. In any case, both of them are being tried. Those who are tested with wealth, will they use that wealth in a manner properly and permissible according to the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jal, and show thanks for that wealth by using it in the manners pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or will they be ungrateful? Or will they be ungrateful? And will that wealth be a means to cause them to transgress the limits of Allah Azza wa Jal? Likewise, those who are tried with poverty or hardship, then likewise, it's a test for them. Will they be patient and have sincere faith and certainty in the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal and submit and surrender to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala bil khudu'i wa dhul mahabbatan wa ta'zeeman? Will that individual submit to Allah's decree with submission and surrender, with obedience out of love and magnification still, even in a state of poverty, knowing that it's the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal? This is a trial. Some are tried with this and others are tried with that. Some are tried with wealth and others are tried with poverty. In any case, they are both a means of a test and a trial. لِيَبَلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, to test you, to see who does the best deed. Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah ta'ala, commenting on this verse, he mentioned he didn't say, subhanahu wa ta'ala, لِيَبَلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَكْبَرُ عَمَلًا. He didn't say this, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He didn't mention to test you to see who does the biggest deed. Rather, it's a test to see who does the best deed. The best deed. Naam, the best deed. Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad, rahimahullah ta'ala, one of those great scholars of the Tabi'een, he was asked about the meaning of this verse. What is the meaning of the best deed? The best deed. The best deed is the deed. He said, rahimahullah, أَخْلَصُهُ وَأَسْوَبُ أَخْلَصُهُ وَأَسْوَبُ, that is the one that is sincere and the one that is correct. They asked him, they said, يَا أَبَا عَلِي وَمَا أَخْلَصُهُ وَمَا أَسْوَبُ, what is the one that is sincere and pure, and likewise which is the one that is considered correct? So he told them, رحمه الله تعالى, Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad, he died in the year 187, from the scholars of the Salaf. He said, مَا كَانَ خَالِصًا لِلَّهِ وَحْدًا فَهُوَ أَخْلَصُ وَمَا كَانَ عَلَى سُنَّةِ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ فَهُوَ أَسْوَبُ. فَذَنْ لَا بُدَّ مِنْ الْإِخْلَاصِ وَالصَّوَابِ. الْإِخْلَاص وَالصَّوَابِ, the deed, it has to be sincerely and purely for Allah alone, and it has to be correct. It has to be correct and according to the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. At this time it will be considered the best deed. At this time it will be considered من الأعمال الصالحة, from those righteous deeds, from those righteous deeds that one is done sincerely for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the one that is according to the sunnah. So it's not about who does the greatest deed, but rather the one who does the best deed. And likewise with regards to the best deed, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned in the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, that he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَحَبُّ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَدْوَمُهَا وَإِنْ قَلْ. أَحَبُّ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَدْوَمُهَا وَإِنْ قَلْ, that the most beloved deeds to Allah are those that are consistent even if they are few. Those that are consistent even if they are few. So then a believer, he will or she will be consistent in their worship. Instead of, for example, standing in the night prayer, one night, praying 11 rak'ah or 13 or even more, and then the next night maybe, and then continuing this way for a day or two or three, and then eventually becoming too heavy for the individual to continue, so they leave it. So they leave it. Or they say, for example, I want to pray 8 rak'ah for duha every day, which is a great deed. But some people, they have lots of energy and zeal in the beginning whenever they become to the upright or start traversing the straight path and come to a tanassuk wal ibadah, they have energy. And then if they're not careful, they will become tired and wore out from this, or become bored and yusab bil malal and the likes like this, and they'll leave the worship. But the deeds that are beloved to Allah Azza wa Jalla are those that are continuous. So instead of staying, for example, picking in the beginning 11 rak'ah, then a believer, they will pick 3, and they will try to pray 3 every night until this becomes a sunnah and a way for them. And they are able to continue upon that way with the witr prayer, praying 3 every night in this manner before they go to bed or after they get up before the fajr. And then after some time and establishing the sunnah in their life and they're accustomed to that, if they have more energy and they can add to that, then that's good. But what is most beloved to Allah Azza wa Jalla is that deed is established, that night prayer is established in the life of that believer. in the life of that believer. Likewise, the duha. Instead of picking the big number like 8 rak'ah, then pick, for example, 2 rak'ah, and then make mudawama and be consistent and continuous upon that way, little by little, until a person has established that. And then later, if they have time, they can add more to that. But they would at least establish it to where every day they pray at least 2 for the duha. This is from their way and from their manners with Allah Azza wa Jalla, that they worship him in the morning like this with duha, 2 rak'ah at least. And they worship him in the night with the witr every night, at least 3 rak'ah. This is the case. So then with regards to this purpose, while we were created to worship Allah Azza wa Jalla, and that worship, it has conditions, sincerity and following the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And likewise, the best of those deeds and the best of those worship of that worship is the one that is consecutive and the one that continues. So the believer will be wise in their selection of their worship, and they will select to do the deeds that they can continue. And this is with regards to the non-obligatory. Of course, the obligatory affairs, they must be performed regardless. So the obligatory actions, they must be performed. But on top of that, the one who wants to continue, then they will use or select the deeds that they can continue with. And likewise, this is in seeking knowledge. So she mentioned the verse here that Allah, He is the one who created the death and the life to test you, to see what's best indeed. The best deed is the one that is according to the legislation, the one that is pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jalla, sincerity for Him alone, and seeking His reward and seeking His pleasure and hoping for His acceptance alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala, doing it according to the sunnah of His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this manner, this is the best deed. The one who lives upon these deeds and dies upon these deeds, the best deed upon piety and righteousness, they have the great promise from Allah Azza wa Jalla of paradise. But many people, they are not given success for this, and they turn away. And many people have been overcome by the dunya and overcome by their whims and their souls. So the author, she is mentioning this, yani, to draw the attention to the sister and the reader. She says, وَكَأَنَّنَا خُلِقُنَا لِلدُّنْيَا وَكَأَنَّنَا خُلِقُنَا لِلدُّنْيَا. After establishing the fact that we have been created to worship Allah Azza wa Jal, and that's a test, and this life is a test, then we will be held accountable for that worship, and there are commandments and prohibitions that we have to abide by. And if there is a test, then there must be a recompense. If there is a test, لِيَبُلُوَكُمْ, to test you, أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, who does the best deed, after that test and trial, there must be a recompense. There must be a recompense. So those who do good deeds can be recompensed with good, and those who do bad deeds, they will be recompensed for that which they used to do. So she mentions that this is the reality, that we are created to worship, and that we will be held accountable, and it's a trial and a test, and that everyone will meet their deeds whenever they meet their Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will see their actions and be held accountable. She says, وَكَأَنَّنَا خُلِقْنَا لِلدُّنْيَا وَلِلْأَكْلِ وَالشُّرْبِ وَلِلْلَهْوِ. And she says, but it's as if, yani, in the minds of many of the people, it's as if we have been created for this life and for eating and for drinking and for joking and amusement. فَنَحْنُ لَمْ نَقُمْ بِمَا يُرِيدُهُ اللَّهُ مِنَّا. So we have not established properly that what Allah wants from us. بَلْ نُهَرْوِلُ فِي صَدِّهِ. Rather, we are hastening to turn away from that and to stop that. فَلَا تُلْهِنَا الدُّنْيَا فَإِنَّ الْعُمُرْ قَسِيرٌ جِدًّا. So she said that the dunya should not preoccupy us, because this life, it is very short. Because this life, it is very short. وَلَقَدْ أَحْسَنَ مَنْ قَالَ. And she said that verily the one who mentioned has mentioned a good statement. The poet, الْعُمْرُ أَقْصَرُ مُدَّةً مِنْ أَنْ يُضَيِّعَ فِي الْحِسَابِ فَاغْتَنِمُوا سَاعَاتِهِ فَمُرُورُهَا مَرَّ السَّحَابِ. She mentioned the statement of the poet, the meaning of that which is that the life is the shortest period. The term of the life is very short, the meaning of this poetry. That a person's lifespan, it is very short. It is too short that it could be wasted in the reckoning. People will be held accountable for their deeds, and for them to waste that opportunity And this life is very short, and a person is getting closer to that day that he will or she will be held accountable. This life is the life of action. And the next life is the life of hisab. And al-jaza is the life of recompense. And the recompense begins in the next life. In the next life, there's no action. In this life, there is action and there's no recompense for those deeds. But in the hereafter, there is recompense and there is no more time for action. That begins whenever a person's soul leaves their body. And that begins whenever they are placed in the grave. That begins whenever they are placed in the grave. So life is too short to waste it away, and then be held accountable in the end for this. So take advantage of the hours, and don't take advantage of one's life, because verily it passes quickly like the passing of the clouds. And life is short. Now she says, "But الدُّنْيَا نَفْسُهَا قَصِيرَةٌ جِدًّا." She said, rather this life, not a person's life, but the whole dunya in reality is very short. Yes, the life of an individual is very short, but even the dunya is even more short. So then a person has to take themselves into account. And a sister, she must take herself seriously and her deen seriously and her responsibility seriously. Just as a reminder, I mentioned today in this masjid, there was a sister, we prayed janazah on her. May Allah pardon her and have mercy on her. And we and the brothers took her to the graveyard and buried her today, a sister. Yesterday she was with you and today she's not. This is the reality. Brothers die and sisters die. Children die and grandparents die. And mothers and sisters and brothers, they will pass away. Life is short. Don't waste it away in disobedience to Allah Azza wa Jalla. And don't waste it away without striving to do and fulfill the purpose while one is created. Rather, even though this life or one's life is short, even she mentions the dunya itself is short. And she mentions here, قال تعالى اعلموا أنما الحياة الدنيا لعب ولهو وزينة وتفاخر بينكم وتكاثر في الأموال والأولاد كمثل غيث أعجب الكفار نباته ثم يهيج فتراه مصفرا ثم يكون حطاما وفي الآخرة عذاب شديد ومغفرة من الله ورضوان وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور. She mentioned the verse which is in Surah Al-Hadid, the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, the meaning of which is, and know that the life of this world is only play and amusement, pomp and mutual boasting amongst yourselves, and rivalry in respect of wealth and children. It is as the likes of vegetation after rain, thereof the growth is pleasing to the tillers and the farmers. Afterwards it dries up and you see it turning yellow, then it becomes straw. But in the hereafter there is a severe torment for the disbelievers and evildoers, and there is forgiveness from Allah and His good pleasure for those believers and good doers. And the life of this world is only a deceiving enjoyment. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He is commanding us to know. يَعْلَمُ أَنَّمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا لَعِبٌ وَلَهُنْ. That you must know that this life is nothing, the life of this world is nothing but لَعِب, is playing and amusement. لَعِبٌ, that the people of the dunya, what do they do in this life? They are playing. They are playing. In their bodies they play. يَلْعَبُونَ. And enjoying themselves, playing with their bodies. And likewise, وَلَهُ. Wallahu, amusement. Amusement. This is from the amusement of the heart. So the people of the dunya, they have been heedless and they neglected the purpose why they are created, and they have forgot the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and they play and they joke. And their bodies are for playing and jest, and they're enjoying themselves coming and going, and all they seek is pleasure. And likewise, their hearts are heedless, and their hearts are full of amusement and seeking pleasure and the likes like this from the dunya. That this is the reality of this life, and zina and tafakhur, and the adornment and beautification, pomp and glitter, and likewise boasting amongst yourself and gathering wealth and children. That this is the case, and for those people who have been overcome by the dunya. As for those who are not tried or deceived by this life, then they spend their bodies and their hearts and the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jalla, seeking His pleasure by performing the deeds of righteousness. as the people of the dunya here, Allah mentioned about them, لَعِبٌ وَلَهُنْ وَزِنَةٌ وَتَفَاخُرٌ بَيْنَكُمْ وَتَكَاثُرٌ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ, that they are hastening, هُمْ فِي مُنَافَسَةٍ فِي أُمُورِ الدُّنْيَا وَتَحْسِيرِهَا, that they are competing for the affairs of the dunya and obtaining the life of this world. This is for those people of the dunya, Ahlul Dunya. As for Ahlul Akhirah, the people of the hereafter, then they likewise too, هُمْ فِي مُنَافَسَةٍ, they are also likewise in a competition and they are competing. But they are competing for something more great and virtuous, more lofty and high than the affairs of this dunya. Rather, they are competing for the pleasure of Allah. And they are competing for His mercy in the high ranks in the hereafter. So a believer, he would not be deceived by this life, as Allah Azza wa Jalla, He mentioned that it's the example of rain, that the rain, it comes, and the people, the farmers, they toil the soil and they get it ready. And whenever the rain comes, it produces crops and herbs and herbs and produces beautiful plants and vegetables and fruits and the likes like this. And then shortly after that, those crops, they will die and they will go away. So just like that in this life, a believer or an individual, he will grow and he will become strong and be healthy in general, and he will reach his peak, and then after that he will turn and he will die and he will go away. And that is the example of this life. This life, a person who will see all the good in this life and gain and have wealth and money and prosperity, get a family and the likes like this, and thinking at that time that they have the best of this life, and then death will come to them. Death will come to them, and that's what they have been promised. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ, every soul will taste death. So this is the example of this life. So a believer would not be deceived. This is the purpose of this verse here, to understand this example, to not be deceived, that this life, even though it looks beautiful and the adornment, it looks very pleasurable and the likes, it will go away. No matter how great or good it seems or satisfying, that satisfaction will go away. That goodness will go away, and an individual will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in that time there is, وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانٌ, that in the hereafter there is either one of two things, and that would be a severe punishment or forgiveness from Allah and His pleasure. So this is the case, Allah reminds the believers, and this life is nothing except a deceiving enjoyment. She mentioned the next verse, likewise with a similar meaning. قَالَ تَعَالَى وَاضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلَ الْحَيَةِ الدُّنْيَا كَمَاءٍ أَنْزَلْنَاهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ فَاخْتَرَطَ بِهِ نَبَاتُ الْأَرْضِ فَأَصْبَحَ هَشِيمًا تَذْرُوهُ الرِّيَاحُ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ مُقْتَدِرًا. She mentioned the verse of Allah Azza wa Jalla in Surah Al-Kahf. In Surah Al-Kahf, that Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, and put forth to them the example of the life of this world. It is like the water, and the rain which we send down from the sky, and the vegetation of the earth mingles with it and becomes fresh and green, but later it becomes dry and broken into pieces, which the winds scatter. And Allah is able to do all things. Another similar example, that the life is like this. Whenever the rain comes to the barren land, it grows and it brings beauty and adornment to the land with crops and life. And then soon that life will go away, and it will be as if it had not been in the first place. This is the case, and Allah, He has ability to do all things. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى إِنَّمَا مَثَلُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا كَمَاءٍ أَنْزَلْنَاهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ فَاخْتَرَطَ بِهِ نَبَاتُ الْأَرْضِ مِمَّا يَأْكُلُ النَّاسُ وَالْأَنْعَامُ حَتَّى إِذَا أَخَذَتِ الْأَرْضُ زُخْرُفَهَا وَزَيَّنَتْ وَظَنَّ أَهْلُهَا أَنَّهُمْ قَادِرُونَ عَلَيْهَا أَتَاهَا أَمْرُنَا لَيْلًا أَوْ نَهَارًا فجعلناها حسيدا كأن لم تغن بالأمس كذلك نفصل الآيات لقوم يتفكرون. The author, she mentioned, حفظه الله تعالى, the next verse, which is in Surah Yunus, that Allah Azza wa Jalla, He mentioned, in verily the likeness of this worldly life, then the example of this worldly life is as the water, the rain which we send down from the sky. So by it arises the intermingled produce of the earth, of which men and cattle eat, until when the earth is clad in its adornments and is beautified, and its people think that they have all the powers of disposal over it. Our command reaches it by night or by day, and we make it like a clean mown harvest, as if it had not flourished yesterday. Thus do we explain the verses, evidences, proofs, lessons, signs, the revelation, and the laws, etc., in detail for the people who reflect. And thus do we explain the ayat of Allah Azza wa Jal in detail. So this is the example of this life. So one would not be deceived, no matter how beautiful it appears and how much pleasure one thinks that they may obtain, or how good the things look, or how strong one may be. All of that will be removed with the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal. Maybe someone will have lots of wealth and health likewise, and then if Allah decreed, that will go away as if it had never been. Likewise, even if that wealth did not go away, maybe the life itself will go away as if he had never been, and they will bury that individual. So this is the case. Either the beauty and the adornment of this life will be taken away by the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal, or the individual himself will pass away into the next life by the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal. So in any case, it's all going to go away. So a believer has to prepare for that. A believer has to prepare for that. So she mentions here, وَفِي هَذِهِ الْآيَاتِ وَنَظَائِرِهَا تَحْقِيرُ شَأْنِ الدُّنْيَا. In these verses and those that are similar to these verses, there is the belittlement and to show the lowly affair of this life. وَإِنَّهَا دَارُ الزَّوَالٍ وَفَنَاءٍ. That this is the life that's going away and that it will not last. This is a life that's going away and it will not last. So she's mentioning here that any of these verses and verses similar to this, they show the reality of the dunya. That the dunya is something that has no great value with Allah Azza wa Jal. This life is something that will go away, and its purpose is to be a test for the believers. It's been narrated from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the reality of this life, wa haqarat ad-dunya wa dana'atiha 'inda Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the hadith of Sahal ibn Sa'd. That he said, radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لو كانت الدنيا تعدير عند الله جناح بعوضة ما سقى كافر منها شربة ماء. لو كانت الدنيا تعدير عند الله جناح بعوضة. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that if this dunya, this whole worldly life, was even equal to the wing of a mosquito with Allah Azza wa Jal, then ما سقى كافرا منها شربة ماء, that Allah Azza wa Jal would not even give a disbeliever a drink of water. If this life had any value whatsoever, any weight with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah would not give his enemies even a drink of water. But since this life has no value with Allah Azza wa Jal, then he even grants his enemies and those who belie him and disbelieve in him and disbelieve in his messengers and in his books, that he grants them from this dunya as he wills, and he increases them and decreases them as he wills. This is indication that this life has no great value with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The author, she mentions here, what dunya fu'ala, yani the wazan, ad-dunya ala wazan fu'ala, dunya fu'ala, min ad-dunu, min ad-dunu. Ad-dunu, this word comes from a verb, dana yadunu, udunu, dunuwan. بمعنى قربة قربة يقرب أقرب قربا قربة نعم فالدنيا فعلة من الدنو. الدنو it means to be near, that's one of the meanings, أي القرب. سميت بذلك لسبقها للأخرى, that it was called الدنيا because it came before the hereafter, and it came first. This is one of the meanings that has been mentioned from the word dunya, that it has this linguistic meaning of being something that is near. It came before the hereafter. وَقِيلَ سُمِيَتْ دُنْيَا لِدُنُوِّهَا إِلَى الزَّوَالِ. She says here, likewise, it has been called dunya, this life, this worldly life has been called dunya because it is so near to being removed and going away. Because it's near to its end. ذكره الحافظ في فتح الباري عند أول حديث من صحيح البخاري. She says here that الحافظ ابن حجر, he mentioned this in فتح الباري, in the first hadith in صحيح البخاري. In the first hadith in صحيح البخاري. What hadith is that? The first hadith in صحيح البخاري. What hadith is that? This was mentioned in a previous class. Who knows? Likewise, what has been mentioned about this word dunya, from the meanings of it, dunya, that it's called the dunya because of its dana'ah, that it is lowly, that it has no value and weight, as the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions. This is another meaning of that word dunu, or that derived from that same word dana'ah. Yani, whenever something is dani, it is lowly, indespicable, it is baseless, and the likes like this. This has also been mentioned from the meanings of the reason why the word this worldly life has been called a dunya. But in any case, the dunya is going away. She mentions fat dunya hitamun zail. There are ruins that are going away. And the life of this world, it is all going to end. It's all going to end. وَظِلٌ عَابِرٌ, and it is a shade that is passing, any passing shade and enjoyment. وَالْغُرُورُ بِهَا هَلَكٌ, and to be deceived by this life that's passing away, that will not last, its beauty and its adornment will go away and turn into destruction, and then there will be a new life. The one who is deceived by this life will be destroyed. She says that, and she mentions the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَغَرَّتْهُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا وَشَهِدُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ أَنَّهُمْ كَانُوا كَافِرِينَ. And this is mentioning about the state of those disbelievers, that from their means of destruction and failure is that they were deceived by this life. وَغَرَّتْهُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا, that this worldly life deceived them. They were tricked. They fell victim to their desires and to their whims, and they believed that maybe they would last forever, or that they would not die. They would bury an individual and they would think, that's not going to happen to me. Or, no, I'm going to live a long life. Or they would think like this, I'm not going to become sick, that doesn't happen to me. Rather, that happens to others. But a person, he doesn't know this. A person, he doesn't know this, really. But we shouldn't be deceived like that, because we don't know when the ending will be. But what is important for a believer to focus on is not when the ending will be, and not where the ending will be, but rather how the ending will be. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to ask for a good ending and hope for a good ending, and this is how he has taught us. Naam, and we ask Allah to make the best of our deeds the last deeds. With the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Innama al-amalu bil khawatim," that the deeds are based upon the ends, that the deeds are based upon the ending affair. So this is the case. A believer, he will not be deceived by this life like those disbelievers. وَغَرَّتْهُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا وَشَهِدُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. After they have been deceived by this worldly life, they will testify against their own souls. That what? That they were disbelievers. وَالشَّاعِرُ يَقُولُ هِيَ الدُّنْيَا تَقُولُ بِمِلْءِ فِيهَا حَذَارِي حَذَارِي مِنْ بَطْشِي وَفَتْكِي فلا يغرركم من ابتسام فقولي مضحك والفعل مبكي. وهي الدنيا تكور بملء فيها حضاري حضاري من بطشي وفتكي. يعني it's mentioned, the poet, that the dunya, it says that with everything that is inside, and everything that is contained therein, the dunya, all of its glitter and all of its light and everything that is in this life, the dunya, what does it say? حضاري حضاري, beware, beware, watch out, watch out, beware, cautious. حضاري حضاري min baltshi wa fatki, from my seizure or my clutches and my destruction. Fala yaghrurukum minni ibtisamun, so do not be deceived from me of my smile. And because the dunya looks good, thinking that it's smiling, everything is all good and happy, don't be deceived by this. Faqawli mudhikun wal fi'lu mubki, because my statement will make you laugh, and it will cause laughter, but the action or the reality, it will make one cry, it will bring tears. And this is the reality, so we shouldn't be deceived by what we see and what we think, the way the people go through the land and the likes like this. Allah, He mentioned in more than one place in His book that this life is a deceiving enjoyment. مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ, that is a deceiving enjoyment. And that we shouldn't be deceived by the way the people go about through the land. لا يغرنك تقلب الذين كفروا في البلاد متاع قليل ثم مأواهم جهنم وبئس المهاد. Do not be deceived by the way the disbelievers go out through the land, yani laughing and joking and having wealth and money and taking as they like without any limits or restrictions, no halal and no haram. speaking as they like and looking at what they like and touching what they like, they like and that likes all of this without any limits or restrictions. Do not let this deceive you the way they do that. Mata'un khalilun, mata'un khalilun. It's just a brief enjoyment. And their final and their true abode is Jahannam, a blazing hellfire. Ya'adhan billah. Wa bi'sa al-mihad, and such an evil destination that is. So she says here, wa hiya darun nakdin wa ta'bin. الرئيس لا يهنأ برئاسته والتاجر لا يهنأ بتجارته والزارع لا يهنأ بزراعته وهلم جرا فهي إذا صلحت لأحد من جانب تدهرت عليه من جوانب أخر. That this life, it is difficulty and hardship, and even the leader or the president, he will not ever truly be relaxed and find contentment with his presidency or leadership. And likewise, the merchant will never be able to relax and completely enjoy with his business, and likewise the farmer and his crops, and so on and so forth. Because if one aspect is good for them, the next aspect, it will deteriorate from many other aspects. And if, for example, someone who has wealth and a tajir, even though he has wealth and he enjoys himself, at the same time you'll find him nervous and checking his bank account, afraid of a thief and the likes like this, and is something going to happen, maybe the stock will go down, maybe he will lose wealth and the likes like this. So even though he has wealth, he's still at the same time not completely satisfied, not completely happy, not completely content. This is the way of this life. And likewise, the president or the leader, the one who is the leader, he has authority over the whole nation and the likes like this, but at the same time, he never gets to truly relax and find contentment. Maybe he's worried of someone trying to overthrow his government or his rule, or to find fault with him and the likes like this, or to assassinate the individual and the likes like this. There are many enemies that would come after him. So in reality, even though he reached this high status of authority, he's still worried and he is not completely content and able to enjoy this life. And that's the reality of this life. Even if a person, he finds some type of peace or relaxation or satisfaction, in the end it will never be complete. And this life, the true happiness, will never occur until the hereafter. This way the author, she mentioned, حفظها الله تعالى فالسعادة في هذه الدنيا لا تتم لأحد يقول الله عز وجل. That complete happiness, yani felicity, yani the perfect and complete happiness will never be complete in this life. Now the true and pure happiness and contentment will never be complete in this life, Allah, for anyone. Allah, He says, لَقَدْ خَلَقَنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدْ. That verily we have created the individual in hardship or in toil. أي في شدة, difficulty. وفي الصحيحين من حديث أبي قتادة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مر عليه بجنازة فقال مستريح ومستراح منه. She mentioned in Sahihain, Bukhari and Muslim, from the hadith of Abi Qatada, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they passed by a janazah passed by him sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he said at that time, mustarihun wa mustarahun minhu. Mustarihun, anyone that is in a state of relaxation, the one that is content and he's relaxing and he is enjoying himself in relaxation. وَمُسْتَرَاحٌ مِّنْهُ, and one that people are relaxed and free from his harm. نَعْمْ مُسْتَرِيحٌ, the one who himself is in a state of relaxation. وَمُسْتَرَاحٌ مِّنْهُ, the one that others are in a state of relaxation from them. From them. So he said, صلى الله عليه وسلم, this is the case of this individual. He's either one of the two. قَالُوا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهُ وَمَا الْمُسْتَرِيحُ وَالْمُسْتَرَاحُ مِّنْ. And what is the مُسْتَرِيح وَالْمُسْتَرَاحُ مِّنْ? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, قال العبد المؤمن يستريح من نصب الدنيا وأذاها إلى رحمة الله والعبد الفاجر يستريح منه العباد والبلاد والشجر والدواب. She mentioned here the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, المستريح, this is the one who was a believing servant, that he relaxes, and whenever he dies and he's buried, he goes to the relaxation, leaving off the hardship and difficulty and the harms of this life, going to the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. فَيَسْتَرِيحُ بِذَلِكَ. So he goes into, away from the hardship and the toils and the difficulties of this life. This is for the believing servant that is pious and righteous, into the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. So now at this time he is experiencing true relaxation, true relaxation and ease and comfort. But as for al-Abdu al-Fajiru, then the people, they are themselves, the servants and the lands and the trees and the animals, they are all in a state of relaxation from him. Meaning that the one who is being buried, he is one of the two. He's either a righteous person that is upright, believer, then that person will go to a state of relaxation and a state of peace and ease and contentment to the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. As for the one who is wicked and evil, then the fact that he died is a relaxation and a mercy for the people and for the lands, that they will be free from his harm and free from his evil. Yustarahu minhu. And that the people, they will be safe from his harm and from his backbiting or from his lying or from his treachery or from his sins or calling to innovation or calling to misguidance, from his foul manners and conduct and his treachery and the likes, from his disbelief or from his innovation. Whatever the case may be, whenever that evil and wicked slave dies, the people are safe from that, from him. And they are safe and they can relax from this individual's evil. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned. Likewise, even the lands and the trees and the animals are safe from his evil and from his harm. Safe from his evil and from his harm. So she continues with the encouragement. The encouragement to remember the purpose in life and to take advantage of one's time. And to know that this life is a test. And the one who does good in this life by having sincerity and applying that creed and belief properly, the ikhlas al-ibadah lillahi ta'ala, worshipping Allah and fulfilling that purpose, then they have the promise of good. And those who turn away, then they have the threat, and this life is short for every individual. So we will close with this for this class, inshallah, and we will continue next week. But before we close, just briefly, if we see in the back of the book, there are many questions. And inshallah, from time to time, we will read one question or two here and there until we read all of them, inshallah ta'ala, along with these classes. So here we have the 10th. I'm going to read from the 10th question. I'll just read it quickly with little or no commentary, just so we can benefit from the fatwa. The 10th question in the back of the book, and in the Arabic version, it's on page 281. Question number 10. إِذَا زَارَتِ الْمَرْأَةُ إِمْرَأَةً أُخْرَى وَمَعَهَا تِلْفِزِيُونَ هَلْ يَجُوزُ لَهَا أَن تَنْظُرَ أَمْ لَا. The question, it says, if a woman were to visit another woman, any believing woman, if a woman were to visit another woman, and that other woman has a TV, a television, is it permissible for that visiting woman to look at the television or not? Al-Jawab, the answer, she says, لا يجوز النظر إلى التلفاز أصلا إذا كانت إذاعته فيها آلات لهو والطرب. She said, it's not permissible to look at the TV at all in any case. And the fundamental principle is this, to look at the TV if there is in the TV or the news or the broadcast, if it has instruments of amusement and play and music. If the TV broadcast has music along with that broadcast, she says, لا يجوز النظر إلى التلفاز أصلا, if that's the case. If there is music in the background and the likes like this, and instruments of amusement and music, it's not permissible to look at it. وكذلك إذا كان الذي يتكلم رجل لأنها بذلك ستنظر إليه وقد أمرنا بغض البصر عن الرجال. She says, and likewise, it's the same ruling, meaning not permissible, if the one who is speaking on the TV is a man. Because if that's the case, then she will be looking at him. And we have been commanded to lower our gaze and not look at men. We have been commanded, she says about herself and her sisters, of the Muslims, we have been commanded to lower our gaze and not look at the men. وَإِذَا كَانَتْ إِذَاعَتُهُ لَيْسَتْ بِغِنَى وليس الذي يتكلم رجل كذلك يبتعد عنه فإن النظر إليه يفتح باب الشر. She said, likewise, even if the case is this, that the broadcast is not, there's no music involved, and the one who is speaking is not a man, then also one should stay away from it, because looking at it opens the door to evil. والتلفاز يشتمل على مفاسد عدة. منها السور وقد جاء عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال لا تدخل الملائكة بيتا فيه كلب ولا سورة. She said likewise the television it consists of many foul things or corrupted affairs, things that are not beneficial or good. From them are pictures, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi has come from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he said that the angels they do not enter a home that has a dog in it or a picture, or a picture. Muttafaqun alayhi min hadith Abi Talha. This hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim from the narration of Abi Talha radiyallahu anhu. She says, "Wa ala kullin famafasidu tilfiziyun aktharu min an tuhsar." But in any case, the evils of the TV are more than could be counted, or more than even could be counted. With that, we will close, and if there are any questions or comments or corrections from the sisters, they can slide them under the door.